It's time for our weekly catch up with the National Party.
Welcome back to The Wire. In recent weeks, the central government has pushed through numerous amendments to the Resource Management Act in an effort to help streamline consent processes for corporations. However, these changes, in particular ones surrounding freshwater planning and waterway pollution requirements, have been criticised especially by environmental advocates as disregarding the negative impacts to the environment and affording too much power to financial interests in the case of natural resource management. As well, this past week, Education Minister Erica Stanford announced a proposed ban to books with too much Te Reo Māori in them from early learning materials in the Ready to Read Phonics scheme. While she justifies the changes as being of genuine literary necessity for children's learning, many have contended the changes as an act of racism against Te Reo Māori, which asserts white supremacy in the education system. I spoke with National MP Carl Bates about both of these topics, starting with the Resources Management Act. Can you tell me a bit about the hoped outcomes for the most recent amendments to the Resources Management Act?
Absolutely. So our second RMA amendment bill is making some really important changes to ensure in the short term we can make it quicker and simpler to consent the likes of renewable energy, boost housing supply, and reduce red tape for the primary sector, all of which are really important steps for ensuring we get this economy back on track. I think one of the key changes that it will help give effect to is the government's Electrify New Zealand reforms, which are all about making it easier to get renewable energy built in New Zealand. And that's obviously something that's really important as part of achieving our climate goals over the medium term. I think the other thing that the bill allows is councils to have faster and easier, a faster and easier process, to propose to remove heritage protections where they are overly burdensome, particularly where there are derelict buildings that can be more easily restored or replaced.
How has the government considered the potential negative impact of prioritising efficiency and in consenting and resource management, particularly relating to potential environmental oversights?
So I think one of the key drivers of the changes to the RMA amendment bill, or that are contained in the RMA amendment bill, are about making it easier to get things built where they need to occur. So where we need housing to enable more affordable or low-cost housing, to ensure that buildings in the centre of a city aren't derelict and are able to be utilised where they should be, or demolished, for example, where they should be, are really important. There is obviously a balance that you've got to find between environmental outcomes and economic ones, but at the end of the day, we can't do what we do in terms of supporting and preserving New Zealand's great natural environment if we don't have economic success as a country. And this bill is about getting that balance right.
Greenpeace spokesperson Will Appleby has said that this is a policy written for polluting industries and their lobbyists, putting corporate profits ahead of the health of people and the environment. How significantly is the government weighing these kinds of perspectives as it amends the Resources Management Act?
Well, I think regardless of what we did to either improve environmental outcomes or economic ones in New Zealand, he would probably have something detrimental to say. And I think that that's really unfortunate that we cannot have a constructive dialogue about changes to our Resource Management Act framework that are going to improve both economic outcomes for New Zealand, enable us to get things built, enable us to provide the housing that New Zealanders clearly need, enable consenting to occur where activity needs to happen, at the same time as balancing environmental concerns where there are legitimate environmental concerns that need to be either reduced or mitigated, or in some cases completely protected. But that's not a blanket right for us to say we can't do anything as a country because there are some environmental concerns that often are very nebulous or have a nebulous connection to the actual activity we're trying to improve.
I think some stakeholders had said that they were worried that there wasn't much consultation around these changes. Is there any way that anyone who is discontent with the changes can voice their concerns?
So the processes, or the bill is currently going through Parliament through the, I think it's currently just finished Select Committee Stage 2. Anyone who has concerns can always write to their local Member of Parliament and express those. But I think this is very clearly part of the government's agenda. We were elected to get New Zealand back on track to ensure that economic activity has an opportunity to occur in this country so we can employ people and have the sort of tax revenue that we need to provide the health and education and other social services that New Zealanders deserve. We can't do that if our economy has been stalled by resourcing consenting frameworks that just are no longer fit for purpose.
I'll move on to my next topic in relation to the proposed ban on reo Māori in the Ready to Read Phonic Plus series. As I'm sure you know, the official languages of New Zealand are Te Reo Māori, New Zealand Sign Language, and English as a de facto. I wanted to ask first off, what do you think tamariki, especially tamariki Māori, will learn about the relevance of Māori as they hear it in their everyday lives when it is ejected from their learning materials?
Well, first of all, it's not being ejected, and it's really unfortunate that people have made a political point out of a process that's about educating tamariki and our children to learn both Te Reo Māori and English. In the decodable books that are produced, there are already a few Māori words included, such as awa, kura, waka, kapai, tipuna, and a number of others. These books are in the classroom now, and they will continue to be in the classroom, printed as they are. There is some mixed views among academics about decodable books, because essentially decodable books are about learning a language through sounding it out, through phonics and through a decodable process. So some academics believe that they should therefore only be in one language because the sounds are different and it disrupts the brain mapping that children are doing when they're learning to decode words as they read them. Some others believe including a few Māori words isn't a problem. We as our government are taking a middle position. English and Te Reo Māori have distinct sound systems, so mixing them in phonics focus books can hinder decoding, especially for neurodiverse or dyslexic learners. So the final 19 books in the Year 1 series will introduce more Māori place names and personal names. And I think that that's a really pragmatic way of including Te Reo Māori, but at the same time reflecting that academic importance of the decodable approach to learning a language. I think the other key to remember here is that we're investing in Te Reo Māori for the first time ever, and it's interesting that this hasn't been the headline, for the first time ever, a full set of Māori decodable books has been created to support structured literacy in learning Te Reo Māori.
I think that some of your critics would disagree with you in terms of how Māori integrates with English, especially in New Zealand English. How would you justify this move as not just a way to assert the dominance of the English language in Aotearoa New Zealand?
Well, no one has discussed either of those points in creating academically strong learning material for our Year 1 learners. So this isn't a discussion about English versus Te Reo Māori. This is a discussion about how the decodable system of learning a language works and the way in which you sound out a word and the sounding out of the words in particular order builds foundational skills letter by letter, sound by sound in a particular order. That is what a decodable book is. Decodable books teach a language in a single language. That said, as I've already expressed, there are some Te Reo Māori place names and personal names used in those English language decodable books.
The English language is made up of all sorts of different languages. Cafe, ballet, patio, tsunami, kindergarten, these are just a few of the words in the English language pulled directly from other languages. Is this government also planning to ban content that features words like these?
So those words pronounced in English, I'm not sure whether those words are included in the year one decodable English books. Happy to go and find out. But the key here is that decodable books are developed to ensure and are a proven tool at ensuring and helping beginning and struggling readers build confidence and master foundational phonics skills. So the question, is this word going to be banned or that word, ignores the fundamental science behind developing English language or Te Reo Māori language, depending on which decodable book you're referring to, skills through the ability to sound out the words letter by letter, sound by sound, in a particular order. I'm not going to say to you this is the order of those words because I'm not the academic that's created decodable books.
That was National Party MP Carl Bates on amendments to the Resource Management Act and the removal of Reo Māori from the Ready to Read Phonic Plus series. We'll be right back after another short break.
That was our weekly chat with the National Party.